The Tea Health Show, your medical lifestyle podcast, brought to you by The Tea Clinic.
Good morning, I'm Dr. Mark. This is The Tea Health Show. And today we're going to talk about compounding medicine and the mandate for compounding pharmacies. We have an ever-increasing need for bespoke treatments, as well as filling shortages in our medicine supplies. So I've invited professional pharmacist and the managing director for the Compounding Pharmacy of South Africa, Divya Naidu, to join me in studio today. Divya, it's always a pleasure to have you with us. Good morning.
Good morning, Mark, and it's always great to be with you and chat on this lovely platform of yours.
So, compounding pharmacies, why? How did they come about? And specifically, for what reason?
So, if you take a little bit of a step back, in the past, traditional pharmacies were your apothecaries who sat in a room or in a makeshift laboratory, put a couple of herbs together and mixed your medicines, bespoke medicines for you. And pharmacies have come a lot. They've progressed a lot in recent years to mass produce ready-made medicines made by pharmaceutical companies. So that made-for-you bespoke medicine aspect was removed. So where compounding pharmacies come back is that we become important is that we've brought this back into play. A really, really important niche service, because making personalized medicines is really important if you consider that medicines these days are mass produced. It is made for the general population, and it doesn't suit your individual needs. So compounding is so, so important for that. Also, there are other spheres in which it becomes very important. People are allergic to dyes, fillers, certain ingredients in your pharmaceutical medications. Compounding can make these with eliminating these, so helping patient compliance. Also, we can make things in dosage forms that are not available. For instance, if you get a patient who cannot swallow a large capsule or tablet, we can recompound it in a syrup formulation. Here again, increasing patient compliance, which is extremely important in pediatric
and geriatric.
Yes.
Patients. Yeah. You know what? It's very interesting what you just said about mass produced products. Mm-hmm. So we work a lot in the hormone field specifically. And it's very interesting that the majority of my patients that walk into my office mm-hmm. already on some kind of hormone replacement therapy, whether it's estrogen or progesterone in the form of a oral capsule or a patch, don't have the optimal benefit. And one of the wonderful things that I do for my patients is I get guys like you mm-hmm. and actually you to formulate products that we are able to manipulate the dose of the drug. Instead of having a tablet has 25 milligrams of that in, and that's what you get. Mm-hmm. But the patient is not getting a response to 25, or they're getting too much of a response at 25. And you know what? Now we suddenly have a far more accurate way of treating them. In saying that you have a mandate to make bespoke medication, do you want to tell us a little bit more about what that actually means and why it's important that we understand that?
Well, we've gone out and identified the need for these bespoke or patient individualized medicines, because in the example you just quoted now for bioidentical hormones, that's kind of the best example, and I would use that too, because we are forced to fit our patient into the already available dosage forms, which is really not advisable in the world of bioidentical hormone replacement.
Absolutely.
Because each one of us is completely different.
Yeah.
You and I could be women or men of the same age, but our environmental factors, our lifestyle factors are completely different. And this will affect the way we metabolize a drug and how we absorb a drug. So taking these factors into account is really, really important in the compounding world, because we can take these factors into consideration during this very in-depth consultation that someone like yourself will do. And you now personally formulate a dosage that you think, with the help of blood tests, that will be personalized to that patient. And where we come in is we are able to do that. We have pharmacists that are specifically trained at the Compounding Pharmacy of South Africa that are able to do this, firstly, to analyze these blood test results and work together with the doctor, but more importantly, to formulate this product, the technical skills to be able to formulate this, because it's not just throwing together some raw materials or some ingredients into into an aqueous base and giving it here you go. It's not like that at all. You have to take factors into account, like, does the cream in which you put these raw materials, the hormones, let's call it, does it actually absorb or
through the skin?
Through your skin?
Yeah.
So here again, there's lots of technical knowledge involved. For instance, in the hormone creams, you know, your skin is lipophilic, right? Fat loving. So you can't put a cream that's aqueous, which is water loving, onto your skin because it's not going to get absorbed. You have to create a base in which you kind of trap the particle of the hormone into, think of it like a balloon. Right?
Without it interacting with the base itself.
Absolutely. I'm coming to that. Those are interactions and pH and density calculations that we do as part of it. But you have to get this raw material in a form that's absorbed through the skin. So as I was alluding to, think of a balloon and injecting a raw material that can't get absorbed normally through your skin. If you put it into a balloon and protect it and then force it through the skin and have it release when it's in the bloodstream, that takes quite a lot of technical knowledge and skill. So this is where the knowledge of a specially trained compounding pharmacist will come into play.
But surely when you say that, we also need to understand that this is not something that you do in your garage laboratory.
Oh, absolutely not.
This is something that's done in a medical, sterile environment with specialist equipment and specialist procedures.
Yes, I'm so glad you mentioned that, because unfortunately, because compounding is a relatively new sphere in South Africa, we do unfortunately have compounding pharmacies that don't comply. So just to go back a bit, there are two regulatory bodies that kind of regulate compounding pharmacies.
Is this SAHPRA or is it the pharmaceutical?
The pharmacy, South African Pharmacy Council, because we are a pharmacy and our scope of practice enables us to be regulated by them. And then SAHPRA, because although they don't really regulate pharmacies, we are making medicines, so they can come into your pharmacy to ensure that you are carrying on practices appropriately, legally, and are using all the regulatory requirements.
So this is basically like going to a big pharmaceutical company like Novo Nordisk or Eli Lilly.
Yes.
And it's the same procedures, it's the same criteria and regulations that you guys have to adhere to.
So we should adhere to good manufacturing principles, which is set out by SAHPRA. And unfortunately, that criteria is not fulfilled by all compounding pharmacies. So you're very, very relevant. The statement you made is so relevant. So when you are choosing a compounding pharmacy, please ask questions. Are you regulated? Do you have a certification? Do you have a Department of Health license, firstly? What are the procedures that you follow? Because compounding and mixing together raw materials is easy for a pharmacist.
So I used to do it when I worked in a pharmacy when I was a medical student.
Yes.
You got a prescription for the doctor. You wanted to add that cream and that cream. You would measure it out according to the percentages that he had to do. And you would whip it up and you put it in a tube and you would give it to the patient. I think today mostly pharmacists are glorified
shopkeepers.
Pull counters. our lovely host, Jack, I don't know how old you are, but Divya and I grew up in the era where you went to the pharmacist first. Do you remember those days, Divya? You didn't go to the doctor, but the pharmacist knew as much as the doctors and usually treated you better than the doctor did. But today, that's no longer the case. They stand behind a counter and they literally work on a computer.
Is there a reason that has changed, that culture?
I think the freely availability of medication, Divya.
The economies of scale. You can imagine that pharmacists can't mix together something for thousands of patients that visit your pharmacy. So it's just convenience and the introduction of big pharmaceutical companies. So economies of scale, which is very exciting because compounding pharmacies brings back that art of apothecaries and that traditional art of compounding. So it's really great. We're really using our skills, and our skills are far more than just dispensing drugs behind a counter. So
The word that you used, art, is relevant here because this is an art. Mm. It's not artistic flair, but it really is an art and a skill to compound according to a doctor's prescription. What I do with you guys is, Divya, Jacques, I'm seeing this and this in my practice. We know that this will help, if we create combinations, for instance, our cholesterol lowering formulation that we've came up together. Mm-hmm. It's what can we use for this situation? And I want you to add that and that, and then can we do it? And then you guys go and it takes two or three days and you come up with a formulation and say, Mark, this can work. Or, sorry, we have to do it in two tablets. But that really is an art. Mm-hmm. But the big art, I think, Devin, I hope that you agree with me, is in functional medicine, understanding functional medicine. So one of the things that I just want to highlight is Divya is an incredibly highly qualified functional specialist. You did your fellowship. So if I can just explain what a master fellowship.
Advanced fellowship.
This is your doctor going to specialize in internal medicine and then super specializing into brain medicine on its own. So she's not a neurologist, she's a specialist neurologist. And that comes in incredibly handy when I work with you. And it's not a lot of the compounding pharmacies that have that knowledge about medicine, never mind pharmacology, because it's pharmacology that we're talking about.
Yes.
But medicine and conditions as well. And that sets, I think, the compounding pharmacy apart.
Definitely. We are the only compounding pharmacy that has a functional medicine flair. And I think our aim and our legacy is that we want to change the landscape of healthcare in South Africa. So from a curative one to a preventative one. So for instance, we don't want you to go to the doctor when you've had that heart attack and you just put a Band-Aid on it and off you go. We want you to know that you have a predisposition because of family history or your lifestyle, and we want you to start preventing this right from the beginning, which is why GPs and doctors like yourself are very interesting to us, because we can work together with you who are open to this kind and are specifically trained and have the knowledge in this sphere to treat patients. So back to the to your comment about formulation. So when we get a request from someone like yourself, we will go in, do all the research in the background. What is the grade of raw material we're going to be using?
Can we stop there for a second?
Sure.
Explain grade, because okay. I always tell my patients this one. What you take off the shelf in the health shop or in your retail pharmacy, off the shelf, are nutritional supplements.
Yes.
They're not regulated. Well, not regulated in the sense where you have to have scientific studies and data for each ingredient and then combinations and then interactions. Am I right?
No, so the companies have to follow what they call CAMS regulations. But in a compounding pharmacy, there is no such regulation at the moment that is set out, but they are being in play, which is why you have to be so careful when you mention this thing about grade of raw materials. You've got to be careful about your selection of compounding pharmacies because there are different grades. And to your point about other companies, you are not. There's no obligation on their part to admit what kind of or grade of raw material.
Yes.
But let me take a step back. There are three grades of raw materials, right? You get food grade, which is your, for want of a better word, lowest grade. And by that I mean it's got more contaminants than others and impurities in others. Because when you take food grade taken orally, can your body, certain of your metabolism can get rid of this and is able to cope with some impurities like we do on a regular basis when we eat junk.
So that is your normal nutritional supplements.
Yes, your normal nutritional.
That you buy off Takealot.
That's it. Then you get pharmaceutical grade, which is of a higher quality. It's got less impurities. And this is the grade the Compounding Pharmacy of South Africa uses. We tend not to go for food grade because we want to deliver the highest quality and efficacy. Because obviously, less impurities means higher absorption, less toxins entering your body. And then you get another grade called IV, intravenous grade, which is used only for sterile compounding. We will never use a food grade for a sterile compounded because of all the impurities and toxins, and patients get reactions from them. So that is why your choice of compounding pharmacy is very important, because not all pharmacies do that. When you are finding a pharmacy that is too cheap to be true, then ask yourself what grade of raw material they are using, because that is a very relevant question. So if you're a patient using a compounding pharmacy, pose that question to them. And the way in which they can prove this to you is each raw material has a COA or certificate of analysis. It can be likened to a ID document. Each of us have a unique ID document. So each raw material, when you purchase it, it'll have the certificate of analysis, and it'll tell you on this piece of the certificate how much of impurities, how much of toxins, all this information is on there. When the Compounding Pharmacy of South Africa buys a raw material, we will examine. Our compounding pharmacist is trained to examine and look out for what is desirable and what is not. He will either put this raw material in quarantine and fail it, or we will pass it because we're satisfied with the quality and purity. Then we go a step further. For intravenous or sterile compounding, we will send a sample of this raw material off to an independent laboratory to be tested. If it comes back that it's got less than a certain amount of what we call endotoxins and no microbes in it, then we will use it, because then we know it's safe for use. If it comes back with an unaccepted value, it is failed and returned back to the company. So it is very important, but not everybody does this, unfortunately. So be careful, guys, be careful. It's very important that you check.
I want to just touch on grade of drugs, because this is something that I see in my practice on a daily basis. So when I do my blood screenings of patients, one of the daily ones that I test is vitamin D. But Divya, I want to talk to you about vitamin D. And very often, or most often actually, the patients have low vitamin D levels. And they're all taking a vitamin D supplement at a fairly high dose. And I say to them, okay, do me a favor. How long have you been taking this vitamin D? No, for 2 or 3 years. Okay. Can you see that the vitamin D is low? Do me a favor. Pay a little bit more for the one that I'm going to give you for one simple reason. I know where it's coming from and I know what it's going to do. And in 3 months' time, we'll do another test and take a look at the vitamin D level specifically. And I specifically do this with vitamin D because there's a lot of over-the-counter. And when I say over-the-counter, you get it from the pharmacy. You don't take it off the shelf. Over-the-counter medication, but has no efficacy for me.
And vitamin D is a very good example because most of the vitamin D sold in pharmacies is vitamin D2. And you and I know that D2 is not active. It has to be converted to vitamin
D3.
Which is why compounded vitamin D is better because we're already giving you a vitamin D3. We're giving you the active form. Obviously, the bioavailability and absorption is going to be greater, and hence you're finding the levels in your patients better.
Yeah. So, and this is just for patients to understand that different quality of raw ingredient has a different result.
Yes.
Okay. So, Divya, when it comes to bioidentical hormones, it's difficult because not every patient reacts favorably. But why bioidenticals versus synthetics?
Well, it's, I think,
What is the difference between a bioidentical and a synthetic?
You took the words out of my mouth. So bioidentical means identical in structure to what is naturally found in your body, whereas synthetic is an artificially created molecule in a laboratory that kind of acts the same way but doesn't mimic the molecular structure of the progesterone or the estrogen or the hormone in your body.
So it can bind to the receptor and elicit an effect.
Exactly.
But it looks different.
It looks the same. The molecular structure is the same. That is, the synthetic is slightly different. A synthetic will have an extra hydrogen bond or carbon bond, whereas a bioidentical one will look identical to the natural progesterone found in your body, which is why the receptor site accepts it readily and it works in exactly the same way and has no side effects or very little side effects, if any. Not everybody can accept bioidentical hormones, you're right. You've got to be careful. You know this better than I do because you're a hormone expert. But you know that there are caveats to treating patients who maybe have a predisposition to cancers or don't react well. But in the field of bioidentical hormones, I mean, compounding works so beautifully because you can personalize this so well. And when you get that personal strength, it takes about 2 or 3 months when a new patient is put on hormones because you're still playing around and you can adjust, and that's the good thing because you can adjust. You too much progesterone, let me give more estrogen or add in some testosterone, and that's the beauty of compounding. You can't do that with pharmaceutical products.
No,
and
it's impossible.
The other thing is that you can combine them all into one product, so the patient doesn't have this tedious
routine
task of having to put on 3 creams or take 3 tablets. And we know now it's become more and more obvious in the field of bioidentical hormone replacement that oral hormones are creating a lot of side effects and you have more predisposition to your cancers.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's a safer route of administration, but to do it transdermally.
Is one of the things that I like that you said is in the first 2 to 3 months, you play around. And I think one of the things that you can ask any of my patients, and I think what sets the T-Clinic apart specifically is the first 2 to 3 months is crucial for us as the practitioners and the practice to get the patient through the adjustment phase. So many people think that when they walk into the practice for the first time, I'm going to give you a medication or a prescription, and they're going to walk out, and you know it, that's it. They see me in 6 months' time. It doesn't work like that. In our practice, patient sees us once a week or have contact with us once a week. We don't charge consultation fees with that because it's part of a service. I always tell my patients, it's when you take a look at the blood tests, you see the ingredients of the recipe, but the blood test doesn't tell you how to put the ingredients together. So it's like baking a specific cake for an individual, and the only person that can tell you how the cake tastes is the patient. So they might, you might be having the ingredients in front of you for a normal sponge cake, but this patient want a chocolate fudge sponge cake that doesn't have sugar and that's not sweet. So and have, finding what works for them. Mm. You only get through communication with the patient. How are you feeling? How are things changing? And so many of our GPs and even our specialists just write the prescription, lock the patient into a dose, and send the patient out into the world, knowing that things are going to change, and the patient reacts badly, and then they are no longer compliant and drop off from treatment. And I think this is what the compounding pharmacies have allowed people like me to do, is really create a bespoke treatment, because I'm not locking my patients in to a specific treatment or dose.
But don't forget a very relevant fact. All that you've said, it's a beautiful analogy, this baking, and I really love that. But in order to do that, the baker has to have the skill, right? And this is where your particular training in functional medicine comes in, and which is the field we play in. Because functional medicine is really a preventative approach, getting to the root cause of any disease rather than just treating the symptom, right?
Yes, so absolutely.
So if you didn't have the ability to interpret those blood results, and not all doctors have that ability, unfortunately, which is why education is so important. And if you have the skill like yourself, when you say the blood test gives you the ingredients, you have to know how to interpret those ingredients and in which order to put those ingredients together and the quantity of those ingredients, which is skill, such as that had by yourself, that is required.
It's a phenomenally challenging field, but certainly in medicine, according to me, the most gratifying. For one simple reason. Someone comes to you, they're not acutely ill, they're just feeling bad, in the work that I do in any case. And through intense consultations and assessment, you formulate a treatment protocol in which the patient plays the center role. And they become involved in their own treatment. And the next time they come back, they're starting to feel a little bit better. And they keep on coming back because they're feeling better, not because they're sick again. And that's what changed medicine for me, is my patients come back because it's, I want to go back because I'm feeling so good. Instead of, I only see him when I'm really sick. And that's the difference.
But it's also the way you treat, right? Because I've gotten to understand the way your practice works is that a patient may come in for, say, a bioidentical hormone replacement. Say it's a lady in menopause and she's not feeling great and you manage to balance the hormones. But because of your knowledge of functional medicine, you understand that hormones are not an isolated system.
Yes.
It's going to affect the way you sleep. It's going to affect your mental ability. It's going to affect energy levels. So when you're correcting that, you have the in-depth knowledge to understand the interconnection between all the systems at play, and you correct all of that. So the person is feeling amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing, because you're correcting the whole system's biology, as we say it.
So what you said about both systems interact, I use the analogy of a big international company with lots of different divisions. Mm-hmm. If one division sitting in one country mm-hmm. is not outputting or producing, it affects the production of an airplane, for instance. If we take it Airbus, you know what, so many different countries are involved and everything needs to arrive on time, in the right sequence, to the right specifications for them to build the airplane that actually flies. And your hormone systems work exactly the same. I think one of the breakthrough discoveries of the 21st century specifically is the anti-obesity medications. But so often we have patients that come in battling with weight, and the biggest problem that they have is metabolic dysfunction and hormone dysregulation. And if you don't treat the metabolic dysfunction first, the cholesterol, the insulin, the thyroid, the low estrogen that causes weight gain and body changes, low testosterone that leads to help the patients with motivation and drive, you never get on top of a weight. Yeah. So on that one, specifically weight loss medication from a compounded perspective.
Yes.
So to give us a little bit of background, the weight loss medication that's trending on social media that everyone knows about, the active ingredient, semaglutide, liraglutide, there's a new one, tirzepatide, not yet available in South Africa. It's starting to phase in through some dodgy places, but not yet registered in South Africa at all, is in worldwide demand, and there's a worldwide shortage. That prompted our big international regulatory boards or associations like the Federal Drug Association, the EU Drug Association, to put these medications on the shortlist, which made it possible for compounding pharmacies, or actually mandated
yes.
compounding pharmacies, to create an exact copy. Divya, just tell us about that, because there's so many fakes on the market that's being sold as something like Ozempic.
Yes.
But it's not Ozempic. It's sometimes not even semaglutide.
Oh, absolutely. Please, please, people should really be aware that if they're getting Ozempic or semaglutide from any source that's not via a
pharmacist
pharmacy,
with a prescription,
it's not, do not trust it. But yes, so theoretically, compounding pharmacies can compound any commercially available drug like a semaglutide when it goes out of stock or if it's discontinued. We cannot compound something that is already in existence, so that's illegal. In the case of semaglutide, as you know, there's a worldwide shortage. So when it is out of stock or in shortage, theoretically, we're allowed to. However, in South Africa, SAHPRA has not approved semaglutide or the importation of semaglutide to any importing raw material companies yet. So it is not legal to compound semaglutide because you have to import the exact raw material, like you mentioned, via a importer that is legitimately authorized via license from SAHPRA. I have checked with SAHPRA personally. They have informed us that there is no company that's legitimately allowed to import this. According to SAHPRA, semaglutide has been reclassified as a biological, and another example of a biological is a vaccination. This is SAHPRA's classification, and as such, we are not allowed to compound it. I am aware that there is semaglutide being compounded and is available very regularly, and we get this question every day. I would go back to I would just ask the person who is ordering these compounded medications to go back and ask questions.
So I know that tirzepatide,
yes,
which is under the brand name Mounjaro in the States, is also now starting to become available through very dodgy channels.
Well, I would question that. And the only way...
It's incredibly expensive.
Exactly. So go back to the regulator. If you're unsure, pick up the phone.
So the regulator is SAHPRA.
Yes. Go back to the regulator and check if this is legitimate. If this is... because remember, there is a responsibility to watch what you put into your body. Is it worth putting anything just for that weight loss when you're creating so many other issues? So be very cautious. That's all I can say. I mean, we're not allowed to compound semaglutide in South Africa as of today, and this is directly from SAHPRA. Compounding of it is legal.
Compounding is legal.
The actual act of compounding, because by definition, it's in short supply, it's out of stock. But bringing in the raw material, when SAHPRA allows compounding, we have to abide by certain laws. And one of them is whatever raw material or substance or medication we compound has to be registered. The active ingredient has to be registered in South Africa. And then in order for a importer of raw materials to bring this into the country, they have to apply to SAHPRA to say, I would like to bring this in. Can I have this included in my list of formulations of raw materials to bring in? And SAHPRA has to give them a license. As of now, there is no importer that has this.
So, you know what? I think we can talk about SAHPRA and the fact that they're withholding medication from thousands of people that actually need it. And I'm not just talking about weight gain. We know that semaglutide is labeled as the new statin.
Mm-hmm.
We know that it works on protecting kidney function, especially in diabetics with kidney disease. We know that it protects us against cardiovascular disease, whether you're obese or not.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that obesity is the biggest pandemic of our generation. And yet, South Africa's medical control, SAHPRA, is not allowing registered pharmaceutical pharmacies or compounding pharmacies, let me rephrase that, to fill the gap in the market. It's mind-boggling. I really do not understand it. But let's leave that there. We're running out of time. So can I, as the man in the street, come to a compounding pharmacy and get medication?
Yes, you can, if it is non-scheduled.
Okay, so just classify, what can I come and get from you?
So any nutraceutical, a vitamin, any compounds that we make that does not require prescription.
And what requires prescription?
Any Schedule 2, so Schedule 2 and above. So any scheduled item, like in a normal pharmacy, where you can walk in a pharmacy and buy a vitamin, you could do the same because a compounding pharmacy is a normal pharmacy. But when it is scheduled, you will require prescription.
So I can't come and get painkillers from you guys because it's Schedule 2.
Yes. It's well, not necessarily only Schedule 2. It might
but
be
Schedule
higher.
2 enough.
Yes, you can't because that
I can't come and get my hormones from you.
No.
I have to go to my doctor, who will write me a prescription for a bespoke treatment. Yes. I just wanted to classify that because, you know, when we give medication to patients, they think that, okay, next week I'm going to go and buy it from this pharmacy, or next month I'm going to get it from you guys. And then, you know what, they rock up there and it's, sorry, I can't give it to you because you don't have a prescription. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to classify
Compounding pharmacy has to abide by all the normal rules of a pharmacy. So you cannot get any scheduled medication without a prescription. It's the same thing. And very often a doctor may not give you, they may give you a repeat prescription. In that case, you can go back and get it for the number of times a repeat is. But a doctor may not give you a repeat prescription because he wants to see how you're reacting, whether the dose is correct. And in that case, it is very advisable to act on the doctor's request. So a pharmacy cannot offer you that. But don't forget, there's another aspect of compounding that's really important, and that is where you want to wean a patient. When you wean, either as a doctor, wean a patient off a medication like sleeping tablets or antidepressants, because that's the two major avenues where people want to wean themselves. Yeah. They don't want to be on it for the rest of their lives. And this is where we are great, because if you get a sleeping tablet, it's normally only available in one or two strengths. But the doctor wants to wean you off, and you never wean a patient off. You never say cut it in half. Okay, that will work up to a certain extent. But after that, you're going to get to a blockage, because you want to wean it, or you want to get your dosage lower and lower and lower, and you're not going to find that on the market. It's not economically viable for a pharmaceutical company to do that, but that's where we step in. We can make it for you and titrate down the doses right until over the 3 month or 6 month period that the doctor wants you to take it for, so that you safely wean yourself off. Because remember, the 100 to 0 can
especially when it comes to your psychoactive medication, anything that crosses the blood-brain barrier.
Absolutely. Not safe for a patient. You can become mentally unstable from something like that. So there's also that niche market, which is in pharmaceutical drugs. So not necessarily only nutraceuticals. There's a very, very good niche market there in terms of weaning yourself off pharmaceuticals. And then, for instance, there's a lot of things out of stock at the moment, like testosterone cyprinate. It's been out of stock for a while.
Again?
Yeah. So when that went out of stock, we could step in and we can compound it.
Well, you know what? I think because of that, my practice was so big. The available stock in the whole country was what I would have used in a week.
Wow.
In my practice. And that's why specifically,
yes,
I contacted you and said, okay, Divya, we need to formulate.
But you know what, what you also do is use a lot of drugs in the functional medicine world that has off-label uses. For instance, HCG.
Human chorionic gonadotropin.
In a very, very low dosage used for weight loss. And only people who understand that and are able to know its uses can use something. So compounding pharmacies are able to take a normal medication and alter the dosage so much that it is used in a different and for an off-label use. I think low-dose naltrexone is a perfect example of that. I mean, in higher doses, it's used for alcohol and drug withdrawal. But in very, very low doses, it's used for
pain,
immunity, pain, any autoimmune disease, insomnia even. So there's great uses to the compounding of medicines.
Divya, it's always a pleasure to talk to you and learning a little bit more about compounding pharmacies. I think there's a lot that we can still talk about. For me, one of the things and one of our next discussions is going to be about IV compounding or sterile compounding. We spoke about the grade for IV medications. I really think that there's a place for that, but it's something that's being abused by business people to make money and putting our patients in danger. We spoke about this on numerous occasions. thank you for taking the time. You know, it's always a pleasure to learn from you and to work with you. And we've been doing that for close to 20 years now. Mm-hmm. Next time we'll be back, and when I speak to Divya again, we'll take a look at the need and the niche that IV therapy can play and some of the conditions that it can address. Until then, we wish you all the best in health.
That was the Tea Health Show, empowering you with knowledge. Download all previous episodes on your favorite podcast platform. The Tea Health Show is brought to you by Tea Clinic.